Well, I'll tell you what, the prayer requests that you share, the real true love and care that you have for one another is so encouraging and to me personally, and I know it is to you, and that's probably why you love, one of the things why you love this class, because you feel and you know people pray for you, they care about you, they listen, they, you know, it's just that's a great distinctive of, or something that is highlighted to me each time I get the privilege to come and be with you. But I'm just a little overwhelmed at the sharing and the prayers right now. So, you know, praise the Lord. That's a wonderful aspect of just Christian brothers and sisters, biblical community, and that you know you can share it and you know you're being prayed for and supported and encouraged, not just today, but through the week. And, you know, that's a huge thing. But anyway, so I just thank the Lord for that. And as we study and think through just who God is, I think it does deepen our prayer life. You know, I really believe that the more we know God, the deeper we understand all of, you know, He's revealed Himself. And of course, we're going to continue to know that. But the more we grow in understanding who He is, the more we do come and say, pray for me, and we share, or that we, you know, pray and that we walk with Him daily by faith because we see just who He is. The study of His attributes, another teacher and I kind of bumped into each other, you know, hey, what are you teaching? And I said, well, today I'm, you know, going to be teaching on the omnipotence and immutability of God. And he said, whoa, that sounds theological. And I said, well, it is. But it's also extremely practical. This, you know, and then I, you know, gave him a 3-minute lesson. No, I didn't. I just said it is, you know, and shared a couple of thoughts. But it is. It's, you know, we are, yes, when we dive into how God's revealed Himself, it stretches our mind. It stretches our understanding. It stretches us to walk by faith because He's a big, big God. He's far beyond what we could imagine. And as we look at those outskirts of what we can see for today, it takes faith to walk in just who He is, you know, and all that He is. And I think that the truths we'll study today aren't as lofty as some, but yet as we dive and we think and we meditate on it, it is extremely powerful to us in our own walk with Him. And it's powerful to us as we walk with one another with Him. So, but anyway, none of that was written, but that's just kind of bubbling over here as I sit and listen and hear you guys. we have studied through several different attributes of God, and this is it is a wonderful study. And several attributes of God we studied. And first in our introduction said, yes, God is incomprehensible. He's unsearchable, yet He's revealed Himself to us through His Word. And what a great privilege that is. And He's self-existent. You know, He always has been, always will be. He is self-existent. He is the great I Am, and He's infinite. You know, He has no limits, has no bounds. He's eternal God, everlasting to everlasting. He is God, and He's the sovereign God. Last week, Jim brought to us and wonderful lesson of just God is, He rules and reigns over all. He's King Eternal. He's Sovereign God. And as we look at all of these things, there, and even as Jim said last week, they're all 100%, you know, are infinitely present at the same time, all of God's attributes. And He is likewise omnipresent. When we think of God's omnipresence, God's infinity, when it refers to time, is His eternity. Okay, so let's bring our mind back to God is an infinite God. When we think of time, that means God is eternal. When we think of space, that means God is ever-present or omnipresent. He's all-present. So, our omni simply means all. Okay, so omni means all, and God is all-present. He's ever-present. He's always here. He's everywhere at all times, throughout all time. Now, there's where we go, okay, that's a pretty deep statement, but it's a true statement. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all time, throughout time. He's everywhere, present, always, in all of his being, in all of who he is. He is God. Jeremiah, let's look at Jeremiah 23 and pick up at verse 23 and 24, and let's look at this verse first. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Am I a God, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Three things just that stand out here. First, just in this one brief passage, God says, I'm a God at hand. I am the God, I am the God at hand. I am everywhere at all times. I am the God at hand. I'm present everywhere. And also, there is no secret places. No man can hide from me. There's nothing I don't know because I'm everywhere and I'm God. And so God says, no man can hide from me. There is no secret places. And thirdly here, heaven and earth cannot contain me. Heaven and earth cannot contain God. He, again, is everywhere at the same time. Now, he's not spread out everywhere. What I mean is, it's not like part of God's here and part of God's here throughout all of eternity and every place that's, ever been. It's not that. He's completely, in all his being, at every place at all the same time. That's God's omnipresence, that we would understand that everything and everyone that ever was and ever will be is in the presence of God. Everybody, everywhere, in any time in our mind, we think in a lot of times, is in the presence of God all at the same time because God is omnipresent. He's always present. A couple of the theologians that I've been studying and reading and referring to over time, one is A.W. Tozer, which has a great chapter in his book, Knowledge of the Holy, about God's omnipresent. It's brief, but it's really good. He said this: the word present, of course, means here, close to, next to, and the prefix omni gives it universality. God is everywhere, here, close to everything, next to everyone. Scriptures teach that God is infinite. This means that his being knows no limit. Therefore, there can be no limit to his presence. He is omnipresent. And James P. Boyce, in his Abstract of Theology book, said this: by the word omnipresence, we express the relationship of God at present with his creation. He's present everywhere. He is present at one and the same time everywhere. His presence is not merely contact, but energy and power. It is not merely through knowledge of it or the exertion of his power upon it, but he fills it with his essence. He fills it not as part to part, but with infinite deity, is entirely, undividedly present, and at each point of creation, in each moment of time. Now, there's something to go back and meditate on. just God is ever present. He's omnipresent. Let's reflect on another scripture, probably one of your favorite, as it's one of mine. How could you not study God's omnipresence and not turn to Psalm 139? Let's look at Psalm 139 and meditate on that just a little bit as we study this. Psalm 139, and we'll pick up at verse 7. We'll go to the first six verses, later when we study more attributes, but let's pick up at verse 7, and we're going to read through 12 and look at it briefly. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Let's just look at that briefly for a second. The first two verses there say that God says, you'll never flee from my presence. I'm with you. I'm with, you know, again, I'm omnipresent everywhere throughout all time. I am present. His Holy Spirit is with us. His Holy Spirit is there. He is with us. He is the God who is here, period. He is the God who is everywhere. He's the God who is here. And then verses 9 through 10 just says that we're he will lead us. He'll uphold us. We'll never be alone. Even when we feel lonely or we don't feel his presence, we have to know he is there. He's with us in all of who he is. He's with us in his great love. He's with us in his grace. He's with us in his power. He's with us in his just, right sovereignty. He is with us. God will never lead us in those storms of life. He says, I will hold you. I'm the God who will hold you. I'll hold you close. I will walk with you through those times. He will lead us in those times when we don't know what to do or what to think or what decisions to make and we feel beyond ourselves. He says, I will lead you. I'm with you. I'm holding you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. Walk with me. Let me lead you with my steady right hand by my word, which is true. God is with us. And then verse 11 through 12, God is with us even in the darkness. We feel darkness coming. You ever felt like darkness came in into your life? You know, you ever felt maybe the psalmist is thinking those times that we have and that he would even, they would even express or David would express or others, those times of discouragement, those times where we feel even depressed or we feel lonely or we feel or we're even realize we're captive into sin and we're dealing with that. God says, hey, in those dark times, I'm there. In those dark times when you're discouraged, I am there. I'm there in my love and care, and I understand, and I will walk you through that. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I am with you. And then in those times of sin, when we realize it and we run to him, he says, I'm with you in grace and mercy and forgiveness. I'm here. I'm right here with you. Be sure of that. When there's darkness, he says, there's light with me. There is light with me. He brings light in our darkness. So when we feel like running, we run to God. Don't run from him. When Satan tempts us to run from God and run from Christian things or run from the church, that's the liar lying to us. When we feel like running, we need to run directly and quickly to God. When we feel like hiding, God says, hide in me. Hide in Christ. Hide in me because I love you and I'm here for you. Hide in me and all of who I am and what I've done for you. Hide in me. Great passage on God's taking that the omnipresence, and he makes it so personal for our walk with him. Psalm 34:18, likewise, he says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. There's times we're brokenhearted and we're crushed in spirit, and he's there, and he loves us. He's near to us. He saves us. He brings us through those times, and he walks with us. As A.W. Tozer said, the knowledge that we are never alone calms the troubled sea of our lives and speaks peace to our souls. Amen? It does. It does. It, as we understand that all of who God is, he is there and he's with us. Acts 17, 26 and 28 says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. In him, in the omnipresent God, we live, we move, we have our being. He's the author of life. He gives life. He is the creator God, and we move. He sustains us. We have our being. He gives purpose and meaning. God is the ever-present God with us. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Yes.
Our comfort if your name is Jonah and you're fleeing from the Lord.
Amen. And which goes right with this passage, what I just read. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So when we sit there and we go, okay, God is, it does give great comfort. It gives us great reverence, but it also is great accountability for us to walk in holiness and righteousness and to hold to the Lord and to walk with Him. True comment right there, right with that same scripture. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. The Lord is near to us. The Lord is here with us, and He gives us faith by His Word and by His Spirit to walk with Him as we understand and know that He's here. He moves us to worship Him, to pray to Him. He's near to us. And Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just stop and think about that. To understand that in your presence, in the presence of the Lord, when we truly understand all of who He is, which we will not complete, but we will as we grow and understand more of who He is, with that comes fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. As we understand that our God is loving and kind and good, sovereign, just and right and true, that our God is all-powerful and ever-present and sovereign God, as we understand and meditate on all the on all of who He is and that He's all of that throughout time and everywhere, that brings us to the fullness of joy, that joy that is unexplainable, the joy that is only in Christ and by His Spirit in those who are walking with Him. It brings us fullness of joy as His children, and it also gives us pleasures forevermore. God is an omnipotent God. He's also immutable. Praise the Lord, He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change in who He is. He doesn't change in His essence or His being. He doesn't change in any of His attributes. He doesn't change in any of His ways. His word doesn't change. His purpose doesn't change. God is the same. He's immutable. He does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, for I, the Lord, do not change. Okay, that's all we need to say about this. Okay, is that simple? All right. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Louis Burkhoff said this, the immutability of God is that perfection of God by which He is devoid of all change, not only in His being, but also in His perfections and in His purposes and His promise. A.W. Tozer expands a little bit and gives some good light when he said, to say that God is immutable is to say that He never differs from Himself. God cannot change for better, since He is perfectly holy. He has never been less holy than He is now, and can never be holier than He is, and has always been. Neither can God change for worse. Any deterioration within the unspeakable holy nature of God is impossible. So God doesn't change. He cannot change. He's the same. A.W. Pink has in that book, Attributes of God, has a great chapter on this, on God's immutability. And he makes three points that I thought were could not be better, really. So I'm using them today. These three points are, first, that God is immutable in His essence. He's immutable in His essence and just who He is in His being. He doesn't change in who He is. We see that in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow to change. There's no variation in God. He is the same in His nature. He's the same in His being. He is eternal God, and He is the great I Am. He's eternal God for all eternity. He does not change. He is perfect. He cannot change. He is self-existent. He is the I Am. Psalm 102, verse 26 says, they will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will all pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. God is the same forever, unchanging in his being, unchanging in who he is, unchanging in his essence. God is immutable. He's unchanging in his attributes. Job 23, verse 13 says, but he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does, for he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. God, he says, he is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. He's eternally the same, and all his attributes are unchangeable. They are all the same. He tells us that in his word, that his holiness is eternally perfect. His power is present. His wisdom is unsearchable. His mercy never ceases. His love is everlasting. And his patience is enduring to all generations. So God's, in all his attributes, he does not change. That's a wonderful truth. When we sit there and just meditate on and go, God will not change who he is. No matter what we do, no matter what we face, no matter what we see happening around us, no matter what, you know, happens on this earth, no matter what happens in the United States, no matter who gets president or governor or whatever, God ain't going to change. He's the same. He is the same. He will never change. Boy, that is a powerful truth. And God is also immutable in his counsel. God is immutable in his counsel. His counsel will not change. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God is unchanging in his counsel, meaning his word will not change. His word is truth. His word will never change. His promises are all amen in Christ. Every promise he gave, according to his word and according to his will, we can count on. He will not change his counsel. He will not change his word, his promises, his will. His will not change. And the same, likewise, his purposes will stand forever. As Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The purpose of the Lord that will stand. God is immutable. He's immutable. He's unchanging in his essence, his being. He's unchanging in his attributes. He will not change. He's unchanging in his counsel. God is immutable. It's a wonderful, powerful truth. Now, I purposely, the last few times I talked, felt like we could come to kind of to the end. I'm going to outline these things, and now I want to hear from you a little bit. Okay? I want to hear from you a little bit. As you've sat here and you've read and you meditated some on passages you've known for years and years, maybe a few that hadn't really hit you but hit you today, what are your thoughts about God's omnipresence, of God being ever-present, something that struck you today that's meaningful or something you want to share, or God being immutable, that he doesn't change? What are some of your thoughts this morning?
I always think of Tim Towns with the verse, I know the plans I have for you for welfare, not calamity. I always think of you, so meaningful, how he shares that. Those kind of promises are only as valuable as the character of the one making the promise. So if God was not immutable, you couldn't trust in that promise. It wouldn't be comforting.
Amen.
So I love what I would say, the faithfulness, just the fact that you can always trust. Maybe it's because I don't like change at all.
Mm.
I do not like change.
You're the only one, right? No, none of us. I get it.
Hyper that way. So, but I mean, I love the fact that we know he will be there, and that all of those promises won't change.
Amen. Could y'all hear that back there as well? Amen. Great. And make sure you share a little bit loud where everybody can hear it, and that was perfect. Somebody else. Amen. And just to sit back and think through that, yeah, wow, thank you. Somebody else? Go ahead.
I think that I struggle with it. and I know some of people have explained it to me, the idea of prayer, when we pray that God, God's sovereignty, control of everything, how our prayer, if we're praying for a certain outcome, sometimes it doesn't come out that way, but I guess it's a struggle.
That's a question I think a lot of people have asked throughout time as they study through the just who God is and how He is eternally sovereign, and yet why pray? Well, what's wonderful is God's God, and He has bid us to pray. He tells us to pray. He commands us to pray, and He welcomes us and says, "Lay it all out. Cast your cares upon me. Tell me what's going on. I care about you. I want to know. I want to walk through this with you." I think in thinking through God's sovereign will and how awesome and great He is, He gives us the privilege to be a part of His work. He just does. And how all that works 100%, I don't know. I'm not going to act like I know. But I do know this. God lays on our heart. He moves us to pray things that are on His heart. And we need to be pouring those out. Other things, concerns and cares, He says, pray about them. And that moves us to trust Him and to have faith and to walk with Him and to know that at that moment when we're praying, we're turning it over to a sovereign God. And so that even does a major work in our life, that we're saying, we're not God, we're not in control, You are. And I'm turning this over to You. I ask You to do these things, yet not Thy will but mine, as even our Lord said, I'm asking You to do these things. And we're trusting in God. When He says yes, amen, we hit it. His will, that's His will. When He says wait, we're waiting by faith. When He says no, we just missed it. We missed His ultimate plan, and we know His plan's far better than ours. But I think on the other side of it, when we really study the depth of who God is, it encourages prayer more than it discourages prayer, because all of a sudden now we see that God has bid us in to come into the throne room and to pray to Him and proclaim anything and praise Him and to ask anything and pour out our heart, that He allows us to do that as a holy God is very personal, and He's bidding us to come. It shows He's a God who loves us. And so anyway, that's just a brief answer. Somebody else wants to say something about that.
Remember the movie Shadowlands about C.S. Lewis's life?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody else want to say something about that maybe hit you? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's what God was getting at, praying so much faster than mine was getting there. We live, so many of us are sort of so rich in our Christianity, we don't stop thinking about how important this thing God is and give over this person. And those two pillars, if they aren't both true, then neither one is true. Because we are confident that His promises from years gone by are still true. Well, that means that God's word still has been true, or that He's still the same God who made those promises. And if they're the smallest little cheek, either one of them is, then the whole thing crumbles.
Amen.
And so if we go, well, yeah, that was true back then, but Acts is life is different, so it's not true now. Then that crumbles the continued immutability of God in His word.
Amen. All right. Somebody else on anything? Yes. Amen. Somebody else want to say something about God, anything at all on this lesson, or yes?
I think the biggest thing is that one rough week, that's the summer, and on Friday, everything was just coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
There's moments in my life, and it's not an awful, I just feel so alone.
Mm-hmm.
God always whispers to me, I'm not alone. I'm like, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
So just to see that verse that you missed, you're never alone, it's just really God doing things.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Somebody else have something you want to share? Yeah.
As just we've been going through these studies and trying to kind of follow up on some of this in my quiet time, I think it seems to me everything in life boils down to our view of God and our understanding of Him. And if He is who He says He is, then, and if eternity is really big, then, you know, I mean, you think about our struggles, and then I'm reading a book, you know, about the persecuted church at the same time, and Margarita and I are talking about just the things that people go through. But if this is truly just a blip on the scale of all of eternity, you know, that has to be true.
Yes.
Because if it's only about this earth experience, then eat, drink, be merry, die, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if that is true, then it totally changes all of our perspectives and our experiences and the fact that God is going to swallow up that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
Turn it into bigger. I mean, it just, I guess it seems to me everything in my life now has to be the
amen.
Truth, the after.
Amen. 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 So we think through that, just that passage. His presence is, you know, when we read a while ago, that in His presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Absolutely. Pleasures forevermore. There may be a few here, but forevermore there's pleasures in His presence. Now, the pleasures in His presence while we are here is knowing and seeing everything from who He is and all of His plan and what He's doing. And that does give great joy here. But we're only tasting the eternal fruit that we're going to feast on forever. But He does want us to taste on it. He does want us to walk in joy and to be able to understand how do we do that in the midst of all of this. It's because we know who He is and we trust in who He is. And we trust that He is who He said He is. In closing, I'm going to read real brief. I was sitting here looking at it. I'm going back and forth whether to do this. This hit me this morning as I was just praying through things. I think that was enough. We got a good lesson. I'm not going to start another lesson. All right, that was great. That was powerful. And thank y'all for sharing. Let's go back and let's meditate on this week. Take time to just, you know, meditate on who God is and that He is truly omnipresent. He's all present throughout all time and that He's this all of who He is. You can go back and you can look on the back of any of these sheets. They all have the same thing. And these are some of God's attributes highlighted. And just meditate on them and go in. God is all of these at the same time present today. Forever, eternity, every which way you go, for all infinity, God is present, and He's here with me today, and all of who He is, nothing changes who He is, because He is the unchangeable God. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for today. Thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ that would share on a personal level of who You are and how that's impacting their life and their questions and what You're doing. God, take who You are. Show us more and more. Open up our understanding by Your Spirit and Your Word. Help us to see You. Help us to know You greater this week as we meditate on Your omnipresence and as we meditate on Your immutability, that You never change. You're the same. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, You don't change, nor does Your Word or Your promises, Your will or Your purposes. You do not change. Father, help us to grow this week in our faith. As Peggy shared, boy, does our faith grow when we know that You're God and Your purposes are sure and true. And that makes us willing to and gives us such great joy today, knowing that you are who you are for all eternity. We pray that you'll do these things and be with each person and what's going on in their lives. Those that didn't share and those that did, we pray for you to just minister to them in a special way this week by your Holy Spirit. And we do want to uphold one another in prayer this week as well, knowing that you will minister to them because you're all with us, but you're with them. And you're with those in the persecuted church. You're with all perfectly, completely. That does move our prayers to see just how powerful it is when we pray to you, the eternal, omnipresent, immutable God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.